What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. This is episode number 200. Wow. Can't believe already 200 episodes into this. So it's only fitting that on this crazy, historic, monumental 200th episode, I would have to have on all of your favorite guests, which is, of course, my lovely wife, Jess. On this episode, we wanted to do something because we've kind of been talking about it for a while on how do we make this the best, coolest 200th episode ever. And part of it was like, do we do this or that? And it was like kind of gimmicky, I felt like, a little bit. And really what it came back to is like, how do we kind of encapsulate the last couple hundred episodes other than to maybe say, what if none of this had happened? What if none of the events had happened that kind of spurred us into, you know, into the reason why I started the podcast in the beginning? And so I really hope you guys enjoy this one because it was a lot of fun. And I do feel like there's some good lessons behind this. It's not just a simple game of what if. It's more about like, you know, if this hadn't happened, we wouldn't have learned all of these things. So again, hopefully there's a ton of value in this episode. Also, to make sure we are fully restocked at crossomeats.com. Again, if you're listening to this as it's coming out, everything is available as of right now. It won't last for long, but go to crossomeats.com. Make sure to grab yourself some amazing beef, some great pork. You can rest assured that it was raised the right way. It's going to be some of the best meat that you've ever had. So again, go to crossomeats.com. You also could become a subscriber, get a cool t-shirt. I'm actually wearing that shirt today. So anyways, go to crossomeats.com, check it out, get yourself some meat. All right, everybody, let's get started.
So the question is this: how do we live the best life that we can with the limited amount of time that we get to be here? Is it by accumulating success and fame and fortune and everything else that society tells us that we need in order to be fulfilled? Or is it much more simple than that? My name's Derek Wilson. I'm the host of the Primal King Podcast, and we're going to be answering this as well as many other questions as we move forward.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Primal King Podcast. It is episode number 200.
Crazy.
So had to have you come on, right?
Yes, of course.
Y'all know that voice. This is, what's your name?
My name is Jess.
Oh, okay.
I'm the favorite guest.
The favorite guest.
That's yes. Requested all the time.
Self-proclaimed.
Nuh-uh. Favorite guest. Other people say I'm your favorite.
All right. So we yes, I do hear that you're the favorite. I do get that. All right. So this is episode number 200. This is kind of a milestone. I don't know. Would that make this be the fourth year? Right?
Don't like ask me to do 50 math.
50 something episodes, but I've done more. Maybe it's I don't even know. It's been a few years since this started.
What? 52 weeks in a year, right?
Yeah. But I've also done like some fire episodes and some.
Yeah. But I mean, I'd say that's close to 4 years.
Got to be close to 4 years.
Well, yeah. If you think about, we have been here for 5 now.
For 5. And I think I started the year
it's the twins' birthday as we're recording this today.
Yeah. So I think it has been 4 years. Wow, that's crazy. 4 years. It's just a lot of talking.
And people are still listening to you.
Are they? I don't know. So in this monumental, historic 200th episode, we wanted to play a little bit of a game of kind of what if. So here's the deal. For those of you, especially if you've been listening from the very beginning, all the way back when the recording stuff was bad and it was probably more echoey and just all of that. It's been a long journey. But if you haven't ever gone back, I don't expect, maybe if you're new to the podcast, to go back and listen to literally 200 episodes. I mean, if you want to, that's great. I know people have reached out and been like, oh, I've been binge listening. And that's super cool when you guys do that. But I always would say that if you are new to this, go back and listen to the first 3 episodes because it lays out exactly why I started the podcast and kind of some of the life situations that spurred us here, right? So if you've never listened to it, I'll give you the quick scenario because we can't play this great game of what if we don't know what we're doing the what if around.
What if about?
Yes. And so obviously if you've been listening, you can kind of tune this out maybe, or maybe you just want to rehear it. It's almost been 7 years ago, my dad passed away suddenly. We were living down in the Boise area out here in Idaho, so in a bigger populated area. I was working at a software company at that point called ClickFunnels. It went from a very small startup, scrappy little company, to being worth close to $1 billion by the time I exited that company. And yeah, so basically we had twins on the way. Like you had just quit your job, right?
Yep.
When did you quit your job?
So I worked for years as an executive in the human resources field at a credit union down in the Boise area as well. And whole nother long story, but we won't get into that. But basically I had, when we found out we were having twins, then I quit right before I had them. So like end of June to be now 6 years ago, basically, like literally a month ago. Yeah. Because I quit the end of June. That was a mean trick. Cause my doctors kept telling me that anytime in July, those babies were going to come. And when you have twins, you're going to have them early. And those suckers had to be induced 1st of August. So
that's right.
I stayed in there forever.
Yes.
But yeah. So, end of June is when I quit working. Like I said, my executive world career.
Okay.
And so I was home with babies.
So, and I think this ties into the what if game that we'll play, but so yeah, you resigned or whatever from your position as a VP of HR for a credit union. You were then going to stay home.
Yep.
We had at that point kind of what we considered to be our dream home. I mean, in a lot of ways, probably what we figured would have been our forever home.
That I'd be there forever.
Yes. Yes. We had what do we have? 7 acres?
7 acres. 7 acres. My horses were all there. Plenty of room.
Irrigated pastures.
Irrigated pastures.
Had a beautiful view of the mountains and
garden
everything.
That was on a watering system. You know, all those newfangled fancy
Well,
things.
I mean, we had a yard on a, I mean,
yeah.
Don't get me started. It's summer and our irrigation system here is, anyways, I digress. So we had all that stuff. We had, you know, we just kind of worked up to a point to where, you know, we're kind of early mid 30s at that point, had bought our dream home, the place that we thought we were going to be at forever. Mm-hmm. It was plenty big. All the kids had their own rooms. Like we had the downstairs to where you could get rid of kids or I could go hide down there if I needed a little minute to watch some sports or something.
Man cave.
Yes. Little man cave area with all my Viking stuff up there. And then, yeah, when my dad passed away, we went through the buyout. Again, if you guys haven't heard it, pretty crazy story. I'm not going to go through all that today. But went through a buyout process. My dad did not have a will. My stepmom was entitled to half of the ranch. So for anybody who's like, oh, you guys inherited a ranch. How lucky.
You think.
Yeah, yeah. I wish that were the case. But then sometimes I don't, because it probably would have been way easier and we wouldn't have had to go through what we did to get here. But anyways, we ended up going through a buyout, ended up kind of having to sell our home. We moved back to the ranch, which is very remote in a very small town. In fact, we're like 12 miles away from a small town. So I don't know.
even
technically
more remote.
Where we're at is more like a village. But anyways, so we ended up coming back and we've kind of made for the past almost 5 years, in a couple of weeks, it'll have been 5 years since we made the move.
We've
just gone in a completely different direction. And
that's longer than we've ever lived anywhere.
No, we lived in New Plymouth for 7 years.
Did we really?
Yep.
Okay. I guess.
So our very first house, we lived there for 7.
Okay.
That was the longest we've ever lived. But I mean, I don't foresee this changing anytime soon. So it probably won't be long. But no, so where this topic came from is a couple of days ago, I was actually having a conversation with my brother. And so kind of how I guess you would say he fits into this is we've grown up together. We're as brothers can be, but technically we have different dads. And so he wasn't necessarily part of the whole ranch buyout and everything else. And in case you're wondering why this conversation went the way that it did. But anyways, he was just saying, he's like, you know, did you ever think like 6 or 7 years ago that this would be your life? And I was like, absolutely not. You know, I was working for a software company. I mean, how much different does it get going from like a software company to
living in the suburbs?
Yeah. Yeah. Living in the suburbs with the big house and the fancy walk-in showers and all that stuff to living in an old rundown ranch house before we remodeled it on, you know, a couple thousand acres and just in the middle of
running
nowhere,
cows.
Right? Yeah. Completely different lifestyles. I mean, it's not even just different lifestyles. It's literally two different lives.
Two different worlds.
Yeah,
crazy.
It really is. It's so mind-boggling to me how different our day-to-day life was then versus now. Mm-hmm. So anyways, he's asking me, you know, like, what do you think it would have been like if that hadn't all happened? Like, let's say your dad was still alive or, you know, maybe you guys just said, hell with it. Yeah, go ahead and sell the ranch. And it was kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, I don't know, you know, and you don't really think about it that much, or at least I try not to go into the past a whole lot because you know, like things happen and yes, hopefully you can learn from and everything else, but
it's also like, it is what it is. Yeah. And it's like, we got to go roll with it. And, yep. You know,
but it did spur up something interesting because I don't like this podcast wouldn't exist had we not done that. But it also did get me thinking, and I wanted to pose this question to you, which is, let's say that, you know, either my dad didn't die, or let's say, you know, my stepmom decided to sell everything, excuse me, and we just stayed where we were. Mm-hmm. So this will have been, you know, a little over about five years ago. We would, you still would have, I assume, quit your job and.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because we did all that before.
Before we knew we were moving back.
Before we were moving
after
back.
After my dad
yeah.
died, but yeah. it was, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. So we found out we were pregnant literally like a week before he passed away. We hadn't even a couple days. I don't even know. We hadn't told anybody.
I almost want to say it was like,
it's like a couple days. Or, yeah. I mean, yeah, it was very, very new. Like literally no one knew.
Yeah.
And then when he passed away, we came up here and someone found out.
Yes.
Somebody.
And then a couple weeks later is when we found out.
And then it was a couple weeks later, we went and had the doctor appointment, found out it was twins. So,
yep. Yep.
So like I said, it was kind of already at that point, I was already planning on staying home. But again, you know, we knew David passed away, but we obviously weren't really even still at the mindset of like, we were going to move up here. It was just we'll get it figured out. Things will be fine. We'll be able to kind of, and everything was totally different at that time with, again, your stepmom and all that stuff. So it was like, yeah, we'll just kind of from afar, you know, be a part of it, but not.
Well, the first six months, it wasn't even a thought.
No, really. That's what I mean. I guess it was very like, they'll keep handling it. Everything will be just kind of as it is. We'll, you know, help with, obviously help more and do some different things, but it wasn't a, like, we need to move up there conversation at that point yet.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like the furthest thing from even thinking about, right? Yep. 'Cause again, I had the good job. We just had newborn babies. Like, yeah, that really wasn't thought about a whole lot.
Yeah.
And so anyways, the thought of what would life be like without that? And I think that there's probably some good, there's probably some bad, a little bit in between, but just from your standpoint, and there's a reason why I want to go down this path, but from your standpoint, like, what do you think your life would look like had that not happened? Again, maybe they
what
sell the ranch.
Like?
Maybe
yeah,
we
so
end
we're
up
just staying down
with,
there, basically.
Yeah, maybe we end up with a few $100,000 extra in our bank account all of a sudden, and we were already doing really well at that time. Like, I don't know that. I mean, it wouldn't have been life changing money.
No.
It's not like we'd have been, oh, we're going to sell this house and go live in, you know, Tahiti, the Bahamas yeah. or something.
Yeah.
You know, so we would have had a little bit of extra cash, but it wouldn't have been like life altering by any means. Maybe we would have paid off our house or something, whatever. But let's just say that scenario happened or didn't happen, whatever. Mm-hmm. And we didn't move back. We didn't do any of this. Mm. What would life be like for you?
Well, it's funny because this is kind of taking me down this interesting thought process. So for one, I mean, at that point, my plan, right? Not saying that this is what I would do, but my plan at the time is it was like, I was just going to be stay-at-home mom and I was going to raise these babies. And obviously I had my older kids, but they were in school at that point. And Riley had just gone to preschool. He was going to go to kindergarten in the fall. You know, I was just going to do kind of full-on mom for a few years. And, you know, then of course, whatever else down the road, I don't know. I didn't have like a 5-year plan at that point, but
okay. Let me ask you, do you think you would be working again at this
point? No, but that's what I was going to say. So what's interesting, let me finish my thought here. So what's interesting is even before we made the decision to come up here, I had these babies. And again, I've always been a big doer. I'm a very I don't want to say I'm accomplished because that sounds really like blah.
Ambitious.
But kind of, yeah. Like I'm just not like a let's just sit around and I'm just going to mom stuff. And not, again, don't come at me. Like obviously mom stuff is extremely hard and there's tons to it and all that. But I've always just been like, want to do more. And so even when the babies were tiny is where I was already looking into how can I do some HR consulting stuff from home? Remember I was doing all my like helping moms who had been at home like work on their resumes, get back into the work field. 'Cause that's a whole nother tangent of things that I like have a passion for. But then I was kind of doing that. But then I also, for any of you that heard earlier episodes and I haven't done a ton on there in forever, just 'cause I'm busy, but that's kind of where I started my like boot wearing mama, like tangent, I guess, of just like encouraging moms to kind of do all the things. And it was like, I do stay at home and I do business stuff and I do, you know, go ride my horses and I, various levels of, I don't want to by any means say I'm not a homesteader because I'm not, but it's like I can things and I can grow stuff. And like, I was already doing, I don't know if you want to call it like the blogging, the Instagramming, the kind of those type of things. So I guess what's interesting is what made me think about this is I was already, I would say somewhat yearning for that life. Well, obviously we lived on 7 acres. It's not like that was huge, but like we were kind of doing that type of stuff. And I wasn't just content to be home. I mean, again, the babies would go down for a nap and I would be like working on posts or doing, you know, blog stuff or like just creating and doing. And I just had that, like, I wanted to do something, fill my time. I don't know, do something other than be just mom. So I guess with all that being said is I don't know if that would have gone further, if I would have done more with it, but I'm sure I wouldn't be necessarily just your like sit at home just doing mom stuff, which is so funny. And the reason that I kind of said a minute ago, this is taking me down an interesting thought process, is I'm not going to lie that there are not days that, of course, the grass is always greener, you know, where you're like, gosh, wouldn't it be nice if I didn't have meat stuff to do, or if I didn't have this to do and I could just do mom stuff or I could just do that stuff. But the reality is, like, I know that I would not be content with just doing that, which is also why Derek teases me, but it's like, I end up taking on like leadership roles in everything we do. And as soon as I moved up here, I was like head of PTO and all the stuff. So, cause I don't sit well, obviously. So I'm sure, I guess, you know, to go back to the initial question of what would I be doing today? Would I be working? I think in some capacity, whether again, that would have been my own entrepreneurial journey. Would it be some consulting? I don't know that I'd be like going into an office. I think I'd at least maybe be doing part-time something. Cause again, I'm not just one to like, you know, send the kids off to school and not do anything. All that full circle to say that it's interesting where my days are now. There again are days where I feel like I never quit. But at the same time, I think that's also like part of what fulfills me. And it's like, you know, again, we come home and pretty soon it's like, oh, I've got this to do and that to do. And I need to run over here. And living on a working ranch, like there's always something to do. There's cows that get in the wrong spot, or there's water that needs fixed, or there's this, you know, the other day, it's like, we need to go feed hay bales over here. I mean, there's just constantly stuff to do. But I think that's also kind of part of my nature that is probably why I don't feel like it's work either.
Mm-hmm.
That I know, and I'll never forget. Let me finish one thing. I'll never forget at our house there in the Boise suburb area, your brother's wife was over, same one you're talking about. And we had walked down, and I think I had to feed animals or do something in the evening. It was like evening, her and I were just walking down, and I was doing this or I had to feed this, whatever. And she was just like, I just cannot imagine having all this to do all the time. And like, you know, and I don't know her exact words, but like the essence of the conversation was like, all these responsibilities, all these things to do, like you have so much work to do all the time. Like, isn't it just like exhausting? Like you just have all this stuff to do. And I remember laughing and being like, I like feeding my horses. I like feeding my animals. Like it's not work to me. I like, I enjoy it. And I know like in the wintertime, obviously there's days that we don't enjoy feeding, but all in all, like I enjoy going out and seeing the cows every day. Like it's not a, you know, when I do have to feed, is it yes? Like, oh crap. Like let's be honest. Derek does it 90% of the time. But like when I have to, I mean, it's not a like, 90, oh my God, I hate, 90. Okay, 99. I hate doing this. It's just more of like, oh, like, okay, it's not that bad. Like it's kind of like go out here and see the steers and you know, I mean, it's not an awful thing, but anyways, all that to say is I would obviously probably be doing something and it's interesting what I'm doing today and how much, I guess, again, I don't see most of it is like work. Is it busy and there's lots to do? Yes, but it's not a, I don't know.
Well, a couple things there, right? So when you had first quit your job, mm-hmm. It was, I remember us kind of having conversations where it's like, you can always go back.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, you've got the titles, you've got the work history, you've got obviously the education, all that type of stuff. So, I mean, when it comes to a lot of those types of things, yes, again, you did quit your job. But it wasn't like I'm going to quit forever necessarily.
Yeah, no, the door was open for whatever.
Yeah. And so
I knew I didn't want to be at the level I was at anymore.
Yeah. Not with all the young kids. But now here being 6 years later, it could have been time for you to potentially, if you would have wanted to jump back into it, if you didn't maybe do some of the other things that you were working on.
Yep.
Now, having said that, obviously you know, we didn't at that point have like the other businesses that we have now. Mm-hmm. So do you, one thing I'm curious about, do you find fulfillment in having a business versus maybe just kind of going to your job? And yes, like your job could be demanding and everything like that, but you also could kind of get away from it. You could kind of at least come home and be quote unquote off the clock. Whereas mm-hmm. anybody out there listening to this, you know, if you have a business, yes, you might have business hours, but it's never truly over. There's never, you know, necessarily emails that you probably shouldn't be answering or, you know, stuff you shouldn't be doing. Every business is a little different. But I mean, do you find fulfillment and joy in doing that? Or do you ever honestly miss just kind of clocking in and clocking out and being the employee?
I'm going to answer that in twofold also. So part of the reason, like I just said, I didn't want to be at the level of job I was at was because being at an executive level, I feel like even then, like I didn't get to have that shut off to an extent, obviously different than having our own business today. But again, like if I, you know, if something happened and I got an email at 9 o'clock at night, I might have to jump on a phone call with somebody at 9 o'clock at night. Like, I mean, there, it wasn't as much of a, like, oh, I just don't need to worry about it. I mean, there was, you know, I supervised their department and I was, again, being over HR, I was kind of in a sense almost over everybody in the company. And so when, you know, that person was having disciplinary issues or you knew you were going to have to fire somebody the next day, like those were all things that you brought home. So I didn't have one of those jobs where I could just totally shut off. Now with that, I think that I definitely, I could be an either or person, right? Like I was always a job person. I didn't enjoy the risk of having to deal with it. I wanted to just get my steady paycheck and not worry about it. I'm a very steady, stable person in that regard. Like I want to know everything's fine and taken care of. And I don't want to, you know, worry about like where, you know, where things are coming from or whichever. But with that, at the same time, I also, no, kind of going back to the old leadership thing. Like I don't do well just being the like, just go do what you're told and like not having a say in things, I guess. Like I'm just one of those like all in people that I want to be very involved in decision-making and so forth, which is why I was again at the level of job I was in. So to say like, would I like to have that job where you just like clock in and clock out and be done? And sometimes for sure. Like I always tell Derek, like I'd love to work at like a coffee shop again, like I did in high school. Cause that was fun. And, but ultimately what I love, and this is me knowing myself, and this is where I love this part of our business now. And Derek also knows that I hate other part of our business is like, I love just serving people. I love talking to people. So like the markets, when we have, you know, different events that we do, with Crosso Meats, like I love being part of that. I love talking and again, getting to know people and having that connections, but just serving people. Like I love being able to like package up a box and over deliver. Yeah. On different things and know that like the little handwritten note that I'm writing and somebody's going to open that and be like, oh my gosh, that's so cool that they like actually took the time to write a note or like, I love doing that stuff. Like that fulfills me. So could I do that in other capacities? Probably. But I know that's what like fills me up from our business standpoint.
So let me ask you this. Okay. And then maybe we'll move on. And
yeah. When do you get drilled all the questions?
Yeah. My podcast and do what I want.
I guess right? 25 minutes on me.
So on a scale of 1 to 10,
oh, gosh. 10
being hard, 1 being easy, how would you rate your life? Let's say June, July-ish before we move versus like just a random day now.
Huh. Okay. June, July-ish before we move. So I have young twin babies.
Don't even think about like young kids versus old. Like I'm just saying.
Okay.
Like,
I would say my life at that point in time, 2.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
I mean, again, you are making great money. My job was to get Riley to preschool, clean the house.
We also had cleaners.
We did at that time?
Yeah.
Okay. Now you make me sound really bad.
Well, I'm just saying.
Once every 2 weeks is not
I think
that
it was
bad.
Once every other week, but yeah.
Okay. But I mean, like, that was like, again, I had to feed animals and like super. But again, that's where I was. And again, and not to compare, But there are times where I'm like, gosh, wouldn't that be nice when it was like, I had all the time in the world to go and like weed the garden. And again, like I was doing things and I had things to do, but it wasn't nearly as crazy here. Now, oh gosh. I would, that's so hard. I'm going to say anywhere from a 7 to a 9, but it's different.
So people are like, what the hell
do you live here? Yes. But here's the difference. Like it is like,
I'm one of those people, by the way.
It is hard. And it's like, there's hard days and there's long days and there's stressful days. And there's, I would say that a lot of that though, I'll just full transparent is
like nights ago, it's like 11 o'clock and we're just battling over the pricing because
pretty
you
much
don't know how to
each
do
other.
Math.
I don't know how to do math. Oh. Anyways. But in that, so a lot of it is just the business side of it. So because we took on, I mean, there's that part too, right? Like we now have a business that like is a lot and takes a lot and pays a lot, but money's coming in, but a lot of money's going out and it's like, it's a stress. And me being like stable. If I had a CFO or somebody else that would do all the money and all the financing, and I could just fill orders and talk to people and be like the customer service side of things, I would say my days were like a 4.
So basically you want a job working for a meat company.
Pretty much. Yes. If you could just handle all the other stuff, that'd be great. But no, I mean, it's just, that's where it's like,
well,
that kind
of just
stress
to back up or, though, like I think sometimes maybe people listening don't understand that. So this is a few different businesses that we have, right? Because the meat business is like one.
Yep.
But then we also have like Crosso Ranch Inc., which is a corporation, which is like this whole other
entity taxes,
set of problems. Yes.
Leases,
leases, stuff, all the different stuff that goes into
cows
that.
Cows getting into people's yards, all the things. Yeah.
So it's not like, I guess like, and what, where I come at that is, you know, some people might look at it and be like, yeah, I have a business and it's not that crazy. And it's like, I agree for the most part, like a lot of people run businesses and maybe it's crazy, maybe it's not, but it's not that complicated. I think sometimes where it becomes more complicated is when it's multiple businesses that, yes, they're kind of under, in a sense, like the same umbrella. Like they're, it's not like, you know, we own an apparel company and we own a, you know, a bookstore or something like that. They're like, they're related, but they are two completely different entities with two different sets of problems and issues and everything else that arise. And then obviously the stuff that I have on top of that on some of the marketing and sales side of it. And so,
and then I do other stuff and it's just crazy land.
So then, and that's it though. Right. And so like if on the scale of 1 to 10, before we moved up here, like a typical day in my life.
Let me finish what I was finishing though. Is like, here's the deal is yes, there are days where it's stressful or it's like I said, you know, I mean, things aren't going right. And again, like I said, we live in an old house and like Derek was laughing with the irrigation, like the stinking cows getting into our irrigation all summer long. It's like for us to go just turn the water on to water the lawn is an hour project of going up the mountain, fixing the water, coming back down. Is the water fixed? How soon are the cows going to be back up there? Letting it run for a little while to get all the dirt out, then turning the sprinklers on. Like nothing is easy, right?
Figuring out why we get shocked by our sink.
Yeah. That would be another weird. If there's any electricians that want to know why our dishwashers like making our sink shock us.
Don't even know if it's our dishwasher.
Yeah. We don't really know. Anyways, these are the things that I stay up at night, right? Like people know that my close friends know that I have a problem sometimes and 3 a.m. If anybody wants to chat, I'm up a lot. But these are the things. So that's where it's like, there is that stress, right? But then there's also, and this is what like, you would never get me to move. Like I don't know that you ever could, is then there's the days where it's like, I go up and I either like go for a walk or I go ride my horse up in like the mountains that it's just the most peaceful, amazing thing. Or even sitting out here in my yard and I can hear the river running by and it's just like, holy crap. Like we get to live here. Like how cool is this that like, we get to live here and it's so peaceful. And it's just, it's kind of, you almost like learn. It's like one thing at a time, one day at a time, when you have thousands of acres and all these businesses and all this stuff, like you just kind of have to take it as it rolls and take one thing after another and not get all excited about it because that's just, it's good. There's going to be something else tomorrow. And I think that's where I've kind of learned. So while I say it's really hard, I don't think I'd change it.
Yeah. Because I look at that like on the scale of 1 to 10, and I would say kind of pre-move and pre, maybe going back to like, let's say December 14th before my dad died, because
yeah, then you kind of got into a lot of yucky stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that was a lot of like grieving rolled right into like stress and anxiety around kind of everything that happened. Again, go back, listen to the first couple episodes. But I would say like December 14th of 2015, I would say probably literally a one in terms of easy.
Yep.
A one or a two, right? Because, I mean, I wasn't working all that often. I golfed.
But you're making a lot of money.
A lot. I played a lot of golf. I was actually a pretty good golfer at that point, which now I'm terrible for the couple times I get to go a year. And just really a low stress job at that point, because it was just kind of like I was good at what I did. I didn't have to work a lot. And so.
Well, it kind of came natural to you.
Yeah. It was just easy. And then now. I mean, I would say probably on 1 to 10, 10 being the hardest. I mean, I would say most times is probably between an 8 and a 9. And so then I know that, and this is kind of where I wanted to go with it, because, and maybe before I kind of wrap it all together, like if you were to ask me, what would I be doing? And this is kind of what me and my brother were talking about, because there's always going to be, at least for me, and I know people are always like, you can't think about the what ifs. And I, like I said earlier, I try not to, but there's always, I don't know if it's just me, if everyone is wired this way, but I guess like my brain a lot of times goes to like, how could it be better? How could we do more? How could this have, you know, what can we do to have better things? Whatever it is. Like my mind is just always going there. And so there are some times that I think like, okay, if that hadn't all happened the way that it did, or it didn't happen at all, like I don't know that I would still be at ClickFunnels. I would probably either be in like an ownership position there, or I wouldn't be there. Like those would be the one, like the only way I guess that I would have stayed there that long, what would have been something like that. And even then, I'm not sure that I would have wanted that. So I probably would be doing something different, probably consulting, something like that. I still think I would be, you know, making good money one way or the other. It seemed like I can figure that out somehow. So I don't really like worry about that a whole lot. But what I always come back to is, you know, it's, I can't remember where I heard it, but so many people think that the easy road is the good road. Mm-hmm. And it never is, at least in my experience. It doesn't mean that you can't have, like, I don't know, like most people who want an easy life, like you have to do hard things in order to accomplish that. And most of the time, if you feel like you're going to have an easy path to an easy life, it's not going to be that way. Usually the easy path takes you to very, very hard life, right? Like it's very easy to not want to work. It's very easy to want to go party every night, smoke weed all day, play video games. Like that stuff's easy.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a very hard life if that is your life. Mm-hmm. And it's not like I was doing any of those things, obviously, before. But I look back and it's like, you know, I look back on that period of time, like before my dad passed away and everything else. And even though it was an easy life, it was almost like, what was I building toward? What was I
think you would have become stir crazy pretty soon.
Yeah.
Because we'd gotten to where we were finally, again, no debt, everything paid for. We had enough money to do the things we wanted to do. We'd improved all the systems kind of around the house. Like you were saying, like all the pasture was on irrigation pumps. You'd literally turn it on and everything would irrigate. You know, I mean, we kind of had done a lot of the projects. We'd done a lot of the things. Like we had to, you know, we moved in, it wasn't like our back 3 to 4 acres wasn't fenced. We'd put in all the fence. Again, we were building fence even then. Like we'd put all the fences in. Like we'd kind of gotten, or we were getting to where all the projects were almost done.
Yep.
And then of course we sold the house. Yep. But I think like we're very much project people and we are goer and doer people. So I can recall, because I know when we lived in Meridian for that short time, we lived for like 18 months of what we thought was going to be a good idea of trying like subdivision life, which neither of us could handle. But I think we didn't enjoy it as much because it was like there was nothing to do.
We had a whole bunch of stuff to do because we bought a short sale house that had been run down,
and
it took about a year to fix everything, all the landscaping and just fixing it up.
But then it was like
it was a nice house. It was just had been neglected. And so when we got done with it, now we're sitting there in a subdivision home with nothing to do really out, you know.
It's like, you know, you can always mow the lawn so many times. And then it was like, well, the flower beds are already clean. So what else do you do? Yeah. So I guess what I'm saying, all that to say is I think you would have probably, you were probably at the peak of like, we've done everything. And I bet you would have been getting stir crazy in the next 6 months.
I don't know. I probably would have golfed more.
Well, yes, but again.
But whatever. No, it does. And it comes back
that's
to
just
this.
I might be wrong. I mean, you might have a different thought.
No, it is. And this again is kind of where it comes back and why I wanted to do this. It's not to like go back and be like, oh, what would life be like had this not all happened? The reason why I wanted to bring this topic up is because I know that so many people out there, you're going through like hard times. And I think so often our brain goes to hard times are bad times. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't ask if your life was good or bad, right? Mm-hmm. It's easy or hard. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's almost like this law that the harder that you're willing to go through things, like the more you're able to tolerate hard things. What are you doing?
Looking at the sunset. It's really pretty.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to have a podcast and you're taking a picture of the sunset?
Yep.
Okay.
Keep going. You're good. I wasn't trying to interrupt you.
Oh, gotcha. But no, I really do feel like we have this false narrative that easy is good, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, I just want to retire and golf every day and life will be good. I cannot wait to just not have anything to do because my life will be good. And the reality is, like, you talk to a lot of people who have nothing to do and they're miserable. Mm-hmm. They have no drive. They have no purpose. They have no reason to wake up in the morning and they're miserable. There might be different degrees of miserable, but most of them are not super happy people. Because we're not built to live an easy life. Like, I feel like it's hardwired. Like, us as human beings, we, like, our recent history is kind of like a lot of the first people in history to have the ability to have an easy life. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like as things have gotten better and easier, depression rates are higher. Stress rates, anxiety rates, like, all these things are worse off now than they were, you know, 70 years ago. Mm-hmm. And 70 years ago, people were going and fighting in like a world war, mm-hmm. right? The 70, 80 years ago, whenever it was.
Don't ask me to do that.
80 years ago. But anyways, isn't it wild to think of like all the turmoil and everything else that was going on in the world and people are like, yeah, we're good. We're relatively happy people because we have food, we have water, we have shelter. I mean, life's pretty good. And now it's like we can literally order food and have it on our doorstep and like, not here, but you know, a lot of places where people live.
Definitely not here.
In like 20 minutes and we're like, I'm so depressed. Life's terrible. You know, what can I figure out to be outraged about? And so again, like I go down this path because we had a very easy life mm-hmm. and we were like, nope, not really.
Let's
good with that.
Throw it all away.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much.
Yeah.
Because I think that like you said, we probably could have rode that gravy train for another year and I would have just been like, this is like, what are we doing? What are we going to do with our life? Like, okay, we've got a cool house. Now what, mm-hmm. you know, what, I mean, I don't know.
You would have been doing something.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that like you're saying is it all comes down to that fulfillment. Right. And I think that's why it is like, again, when I can go out and do things and we've always been people where it's even, you know, it's like, and again, this might sound weird. And I don't mean to like toot our horn, but it was always like any place we moved into or went, even when we were renting in college, like it would might be in like rundown or kind of like bad yard or whatever. And by the time we were done, like the yard was immaculate and like we'd have it all looking all nice. And it's like, we just always are those people who do that and are like proud of what we have and not what we have, but like you want it to look nice and you want it to like, I don't know, just that pride, right? And not again from like a negative being prideful, but like you're proud of what you've accomplished and what you've got and what you've done and what you can show for it. And so I think that's where, again, when you have that fulfillment of being like, wow, like look at what we did, like, you know, on the meat side, like look what we're producing and look what we're, you know, delivering to people. And I'm sure, you know, just all those different theses when we can look around and be like, gosh, you know, remember when the house was a rundown, should have been bulldozed house. And like, look at it now. Like, you know, like look what we've done and it looks nice and it's a home again. And it's, I mean, just those type of things. I think when you have that like fulfillment of what you're doing, it makes the long days, you know, they're so worth it. Cause even though, like, and again, on the Crosso Meat side of things, we talk about it on various posts and emails and stuff where it's like the long days that are so exhausting, but you like hit the pillow and you're so like happy with what you've done. Like that's the good, like that's the hard work. That's good. Yeah. You know, not like I said, I drug myself here and hated this and da da da, but you get done and you're like, yes, like that sucked, but you know what? We got that done. And now this is like, you're proud of what you've accomplished. And there's something to be said for that.
Well, and it comes back to kind of the, I guess the theme, if you will, of this 200th episode, which is, I would so highly encourage people to do the best you can to become uncomfortable and to try to almost like create hardships for yourself. Because the more that you do that, the better you'll be. And I know that, like, for whatever reason, in our country, maybe just in Western culture altogether, we put so much emphasis on like this easy, great life. You know, the Instagram influencers are selling it to you. It's easy.
Laptop lifestyle.
Yeah, I wake up and my computer prints out money and I fly around and blah, blah, blah. And if those guys are telling the truth, and this is why I gravitate toward like Andy Frisella is one that I really, really respect in this regard, to where he's one that will tell you over and over and over again, like, it sucks, but mm-hmm. it's worth it. Mm-hmm. You know, it sucks to try to build a business. I will tell you, it sucks to try to build a business. Like, there are so many days. I mean, a few days ago, like I said, it was
not pretty.
It was like a 16-hour day.
It was probably one of our lowest moments.
Yeah, it was brutal. But we had
we'd gotten home. We'd left the house at 7 a.m.
Yeah, we were up at 6 a.m. moving
cows down to the processor. Then we picked up five hogs butchered. Then we went and picked up 10 beef butchered. Then we went to cold storage.
So in the meantime,
unloaded it again.
Hold on. So that's like 4,000 pounds worth of beef that we loaded, mm-hmm. Stacked
twice,
inventoried. Yes. Unloaded at our cold storage unit.
Picked
up four more
to bring home.
Yes.
And so now it's like 9:30, 10 o'clock at night. And now we have to unload it into the freezers and do official inventory. And it did not end well.
And you decide to start throwing out all these wonky numbers.
I've told you I'm not good at math.
Like, you start going in these math circles.
But this is the best part. You ladies will love this. He's literally like, we have not talked about this. I was like, you are freaking going crazy. No. We sat here in the office. We had this whole conversation. We decided on all these numbers, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, no, we didn't.
So we did talk about it, but the numbers that you had were pulled straight from right out of your... I probably won't say where those numbers were pulled from.
I just know that I know I'm not good at math. And I remember having the conversation, asking him what numbers to use. And he gave me the numbers.
No.
So whatever.
No.
We're going to end with
that. We will agree to disagree on this still.
Let's just
today.
Say Riley, poor Riley, was trying to help. And I was like, get out of the shop. I'm yelling at Derek like it was not it's
11
good.
O'clock. Go up and go to bed. And he's just like, all he wants
like,
to
I
do
just
is help.
We're like, get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, it's not good.
You know, the funny thing is, though, is that, you know, you have your little moments and then you wake up the next day and you're like, wow, we did a lot of stuff yesterday that was really, really cool.
Yep.
And we got it done. And so
you're able to accomplish a lot more than you think you are.
You are. And I think that most people, like I always look at it this way, to where if you are somebody who is like depressed, right? And I know, you know, like I heard this clip of, I think it was like Andrew Tate or something. It's like, depression doesn't exist. Can I disagree with that? Like and whether it's clinical or not, I don't know. Maybe you could have that debate. But like all of us as human beings, we get into these funks. We get down. Mm-hmm. Like I've gone through them so many times in my life. Mm-hmm. But typically what I realize a lot of times when you're going through those is it's when you let off the gas. At least that's my experience. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not working out. Maybe you're not working out as hard. Maybe you're not... You know, whether it's saunas or cold plunges or all these different things that you can do to make yourself even more uncomfortable, that's when those things tend to hit me. And I think diet has a lot. I mean, there's a number of things that go into it. But what I've noticed is it's almost like the more comfortable I become, the more prone I am to have those types of lows, mm-hmm. those types of bouts of, you know, just again,
well,
like
don't
I don't
feel good about yourself. Yeah, you're just kind of like, blah, I haven't done anything. And
I'm done anything. I'm not eating right. I'm not, you know, maybe I've gained a few pounds. And it's like just all this stuff starts stacking onto it where it's like, the beauty is about being 40 years old, and you know, there's a lot of downside as you get older, as you may know. You know, stuff hurts that didn't used to hurt, and yeah, it hurts easier than what it ever, like, I seriously hurt my neck yawning.
It's true story.
It's 100%. Like, I heard a bat.
I don't know what I did, but I yawned and my back is jacked up. I was like, my neck.
I was driving and I yawned and I like turned to look at something as I was yawning, and somehow, some way,
it you're just officially like, old when
popped my neck, and I was like, I cannot move my neck. Like, this is unreal. So again, like, this is 40, but having said that, you do gain wisdom. And so what you have when you get to be a little bit older is you have like this memory bank, if you will, of all these things. You can look back and be like, okay, I feel like this, but I know before when I felt like that, I can do this, I can do that, I can do this. And those things all make me feel better. They make me feel more purpose. They, you know, have more purpose. They give me all these things. And so if you are younger, take it from a couple of older people to just understand that you should never seek easy, like never seek easy. Mm-hmm. If I could almost burn that into my kids' head, and it's so hard because what do kids do? You tell them to go in and clean the bathroom. They try to take the easy way out, right? They wipe everything
like
down.
My biggest pet peeve ever.
And we're always yelling at them, like, just don't half-ass things, right? Like, do it, you know, if you're going to clean the bathroom, like, clean the bathroom, do it right. You know, if you're going to have the energy to do something, do it all the way. And that's where I see like so many people in our culture struggling right now is that they really have nothing to be proud of because they're not doing anything hard. And it's so simple to do things that are hard. Like, even, you know, I mean, you're going to face hard things whether you make yourself do hard things or not, but just getting a great workout in changes the whole day for me, and because it's hard, it's physically demanding, like all of those things, and it changes my entire mindset for the entire day. And it's so easy to do that hard thing. And so when I look back and it's like, I can honestly say my life was at about a 2 before we, you know, before my dad passed away and all of that. And I can say that that hard ranking has gone up exponentially. But overall, like, it, you look and you're like, it's worth it. And there's still some things, you know, like me and my brother were having a conversation just about kids and sports, because, you know, I don't want to like toot our own horn, but I think we have some pretty athletic kids. And you do, you worry like, okay, if that all hadn't happened, we'd be in a bigger area, bigger schools, maybe more notoriety for our kids. But then the one thing that I brought up to my brother is I said, and he agreed with this too, because he still lives down like in the city. But I said, you know, the funny thing is that we both grew up in a small town and neither one of us grew up like a bunch of money, you know, like
you and your brother, you mean?
Yeah. Like, me and my brother didn't grow up as financially well off as what his kids or my kids will, right? And I was like, but somehow, whatever we learned in this small town and whatever we learned from living this way has propelled each of us to be pretty successful. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you can't discount that. Yeah. And who knows, you know, like, you know, I know there's plenty of people that grew up in the city and they have good work ethic. They're great people. This isn't like a us versus them in a small town, but it is to say that sometimes
your
kids...
you turned out all right.
I think.
I mean, that's what you're getting at. Yeah. Like, I mean, you turned out fine and you've been able to go on and do bigger things, and it's not, you know,
Well, yeah. And I mean, maybe in small towns, maybe we're the exception, right? I don't know, but I also... It's like Tony Robbins says, if you're going to give somebody like blame, you also have to give them credit. Mm-hmm. And so when you talk about maybe being raised in a small town, like you can blame a lot of stuff. Like, I was raised in a small town. I didn't get out. I didn't, you know, no mm-hmm. one could come scout me at my football games or whatever. But then you also equally have to say, I also learned a lot of really valuable lessons from the hardships that a small town will present, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just go to the mall every day. You can't just, you know, you can't Uber Eats whenever you want. You can't, you know, there's so many things that you can't do that make life harder here. But having said that, there must be something to the fact that each of us turned out okay. And yes, mm-hmm. obviously we've got to give credit to our parents. I love you, Mom. Great job. But having said that, like, there's something to be said about growing up a certain way. Mm-hmm. And to just discount it and be like, oh, you'd have so many more opportunities if you lived in a city, I don't know that that's necessarily true mm-hmm. for the whole scope of things, like, yeah. you know, for the longevity. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You grew up in a city.
Not really. I didn't think it would open a city. Just because it was bigger than here does not make it a city.
Well, yes, it does. That's
I graduated
definition.
With 200 people and he thought it was crazy.
That's huge.
Yeah.
That was bigger than my high school.
Yeah. And I thought it was tiny because we went from kindergarten through 12th grade with these people. And I was like, oh, we just live in this little small town in Alaska. And
Did you know everybody in your high school?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody in your whole high school?
And I wouldn't say every single person, but 90% of them. 90% of them I went.
People?
Yeah. Like you literally went to school with them from kindergarten on. Like unless there was new people that had like moved in here and there, like you knew. I mean, like literally everybody went all the way up. Because again, you went like our town, and that's what I've tried to tell you before. Like our town, like our school, we had kids. I mean, you take my friend Rick, he rode the bus from 45 minutes away. Like it was such a huge area that all went to one school that like even if you moved around, you still went to the same school. And we had from basically kindergarten all the way up, like all the same kids and a bunch of homestead families.
Huh.
So like, yeah, you knew. I mean, my parents knows everybody from their generation and then we all the kids. And it was just, so it felt small.
It's a lot of people.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But so here's my question I want to ask you.
Uh-oh.
So here's the big what if.
Okay.
So let's say you had, you know, your mystery ball and you can go back in time or whichever. If you could change things and either make the same decisions and come up and be in the life you're in today or make different decisions, what would you do?
So are you mainly talking about the decision on whether to move up or just like
all of it? No, all of it. I mean, you know, again, so your dad passes away.
Mm-hmm.
You decide to take on as president of the ranch, take it over, move up here, all the things, like any of those decisions. Would you change any of them or would you do them all the same or what are your thoughts there?
Ooh.
And again, I'm not asking to like, what if or go, I don't know.
No, I think that's a good question.
There's your question for your 200th episode. Now it's on you.
So, okay. So I think I could answer this kind of two ways. So would I change anything? No. Do I wish things would have gone differently? Yes. So yeah. That's like not, it's kind of answering, sure. But not answering,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because like what I wish would have happened is that when we had to do the buyout and that whole process, I wish that could have unfolded better. Again,
just
like
so that, if, like we didn't have a huge mortgage. On
yeah,
the
I
ranch.
Mean, just like everything with my stepmom and kind of how that had to be so fast and how much money we had to spend on the, you know, getting that
lawyers
hard money
and
loan
fees and all the stuff. Yeah.
And yeah, all the money and lawyers, because the unfortunate thing is that so much of that put us even further behind.
Yeah.
You know, cause if we would have had the extra, I don't even know, 40, 50 grand in lawyer bills, like that would have been nice. Like in the initial stages of
redoing
the house, yeah. And kind of because, and for those of you who don't know, my dad was one of the best cowboys you would ever meet. When it comes to getting on a horse and moving cows, there's probably nobody that's ever been as good or better, in my opinion, right? A little biased. But when it came to upkeep, he was not the best at that. So there's things like corrals that have been falling down. I've been working on putting those back together and rebuilding a lot of that. There's infrastructure around here. The house was a disaster. Overgrown trees, just all of that stuff that was totally neglected. And so having, you know, if we hadn't have had to gone through it the way that we did, we probably could have done those things a little bit easier, maybe a little bit better, which would ultimately have made things a whole lot easier in that process. So again, I know that's kind of a long-winded answer, but as far as making the decisions, no. Are there certain times where I've second-guessed it? Yes. But I will tell you, it's never been second-guessing around us, like me and you.
Mm-hmm.
Where I've second guessed it is, you know, like my son, he is a football nut. He believes he's going to go play for Alabama and go to the NFL. What he doesn't realize is that living in a town this size pretty much means like, even if we were at a 5A school in Boise, he probably has like a 0.1% chance, but living in a small town, like where we do in Riggins, Idaho, it's literally a 0% chance of that ever happening. So there are some times to where it's like, and I've said this time and time again, I even told this to my brother, like the one thing that I fear is that I don't want my kids to have less opportunities because of decisions that we made.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think as a parent, that's something that you always want to consider. And it was something that we considered when we made the move. Like I even remember thinking like, you know, our kids are not going to have as great as sporting opportunities. And then there's also the other side of that argument that's like, well, you know, now with all the technology and everything else, your kids, if they're great at sports, they're going to be found out. Yes, kind of. You can't tell me that when you play at a school this small, you're going to have anywhere near the advantages of playing at big schools where you have, you know, like I coached at 5A and we had scouts at practices all the time. We had people there. There was more publicity, more press, all of that. So I would never make the decision differently, but if there was like this alternate universe that you looked at, maybe, I don't know, when you die, and it was like, yeah, if you would have actually stayed there, your son could have had this opportunity, your daughters could have had that opportunity, but they weren't afforded that because you made the decision to move, that would wreck me. Mm-hmm. So that's like, that's the only like hesitancy I have in terms of my life, my quality of life. Like personally, if I'm being very, very like, I don't know, selfish, I wouldn't change anything. Mm-hmm. And I even think for us in our marriage and kind of the goals that we've always had with businesses and everything else, I think it's been great for that because it did make us get out of our comfort zone. Everything I just talked about with like choosing hard and doing all of that, I tell you that because we did that. You know what I mean? Like we could have stayed in our comfort zone and lived a nice little, probably unfulfilling life for the rest of our lives and been just fine. We would have died with a bunch of money in the bank and assets and everything else. And we still will. But you know what I mean? Like we would have had a nice, comfortable life. We probably wouldn't be as fulfilled. But the kids is where sometimes I'm just like, gosh, like the school is so small and their opportunities for like electives in school and, you know, all of those types of things. Sometimes I'm just like, I hope I don't like hurt our kids because of the decision that we made.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So there's your 10-minute answer.
I'm yelling at you at 11:30 at night about meat. You still are glad we're here.
No, I'm selling everything next time you do that. It's over. Ranch is going for sale next time that day happens.
What? Oh, yep, gosh.
I'll sell you a meat business, a ranch, and a wife all in one.
Oh, gosh. Whatever.
Oh, goodness. I think I get pretty good. I mean, at least the ranch and the meat business. I don't know.
You're such a jerk. I'd go for top dollar.
Top dollar. Yeah. Yeah. All right, buddy. Well, we are at the end of time. What do you think? Was this a good one?
Yeah.
Was this a good 200th episode?
Yep. It's great.
Yep. Well, if nothing
200,
else.
There'll be another 200. There'll be a 400.
We'll see.
What's, do you have any different like things you want to do different or change or anything for the podcast? Or like, are you just, I mean, is it carry on? Like, I'm just curious. I don't know these things.
We'll have to see. You know, I don't ever want anything to get stale. So if it starts feeling stale, then we'll change it.
Uh-huh.
What do you think?
I was just curious. I have no idea.
Think we should go in a new direction?
No. I was just totally curious what your thoughts were.
Yeah. I don't know. I've considered that. I've considered that. We'll see.
That stumped him.
It did. Because I have thought about that. Because the one thing that I don't ever want to do, and that's why even like I'd kind of taken a couple weeks off, is I never want to like force episodes, just get on here and just rattle off garbage mm-hmm. for 20 minutes
yeah.
or have guests on that I don't really want to mm-hmm. just to fill time. And so that's like one of the things I've thought about. But I will tell you, I probably will talk more, even more. And some of you are like, you already do this, but like, I probably will talk in the future a lot more what is considered political, but I don't believe it to be political because I do think that we're in a really, really precarious time right now, very volatile time. And I don't think it's going to get better for a little while. So I'm going to do everything I can to use like my platform to hopefully help people through that. So there you go. That might be one of the changes.
Gotcha.
Cause I'm going to remain like pretty pro freedom.
That's good.
Yeah. Hashtag America.
Hashtag America. Oh, gosh.
All right.
Oh, buddy.
We are at almost a 1 hour mark. Hopefully you enjoyed this 200th episode. And I hope you're still around in 200 episodes more. One thing that you could do on this 200th episode is if you are somebody who has been listening to this for like 200 episodes and you haven't shared it, I mean, come on. just share it at this point, right? Like if you're 200 episodes deep and you haven't shared it, and I don't need you to go out there and like post it all over social media if you don't want to. Like I get how some of you weirdos never want to post anything. You just want to see what everybody else posts. Uh-oh, shots fired. but having said that, I mean, if nothing else, just tell a friend, tell a family member about the podcast. Get more people involved in listening to this. Like I said, I don't really do any ads outside of like our meat business. Maybe I'll do more of those. Maybe that'll be another thing in the future.
I would say too is just, I mean, from me being the wife side of things is feedback is always beneficial. For anybody, but I know for Derek, and I'll just plug this for him, is that, you know, when I've asked about the podcast, there's times where he's like, I don't know if anybody even listens anymore. And again, you get like all the algorithm crap, right? Where he's like, I'm not playing the algorithm game. And
yeah, I probably get censored.
Yeah, I probably get censored and nobody hears it. And I don't know, maybe it's just like a waste of my time. And like, you know, it does, like it takes time to record these and edit them and upload them and all the things and like money to host all the programs. And, you know, he's just like, I don't know, like, I don't know if I should even do it. And so like, just feedback is always helpful. Like it doesn't need to be a big, long, you know, heartfelt, like, oh my gosh, whatever. Just, you know, a thumbs up, like great episode. Like, I mean, let people know that you hear it, because I know for him, I'm speaking for him saying that like, it's a very one-sided to sit here and speak into a microphone and we never hear anything back.
Yep.
Well, like you don't know if people listen or if they liked it or hate it, or
if you post something on Instagram, you get that instant like dopamine hit, right? That we all just love for those who do post. And it's like, oh, I've got so many likes and shares and comments. And that obviously was a great topic in the podcast world. And I'm this way too, because I do listen to a ton of podcasts and I know how it goes. Like you're not sharing them. Maybe you're not interacting or engaging with the host on anything. So what ends up happening is, yes, I can see statistics and stuff. You can see if, you know, people are listening kind of
from
on a holistic
standpoint. Yeah. Yeah.
But what you can't tell is like, is it impacting anybody? Does anybody really care? Because it is, it's one of the only platforms that exists that, you don't really know.
You hear nothing.
Yeah. It's like, I could have the best episode I've ever done and people are like, hell yeah, that was awesome. But no one actually says it out loud. So you're like, okay.
We could all think it sucks.
Yeah. So that stuff is great. Like obviously the ratings and reviews are cool. I've got, I think, a few hundred of those, which is awesome. But yeah, I mean, just share it out there. Tell people about it. If the topics that I talk about that, you know, Jess and I talk about when she's on, if you guys are digging it after 200 episodes in, I would just say, share it out. Tell a couple people about it. Maybe they'll love it. Maybe they won't. But the reality is that, like I said, as we move into kind of even more and more weird times, you know, like I think we just had another indictment on a former president. That's probably not going to, all these things aren't going to end up going well over time. And so as we move through some of these things, like I'm going to continue preaching like the same things, you know, liberation, lifestyle, legacy, those things that will be even more important if things do get crazier. So yeah, I mean, if you want, pop it in your Instagram story. Tell all your followers to go check it out. If you know, if you're around people and stuff like this comes up, hey, I wouldn't mind saying, hey, go check out the Primal King podcast. You can pretty much find it anywhere. And if you don't want to, that's cool too, but you should. Right?
Awesome. Yep.
All right. All right, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed this one. I appreciate all of you over the past 200 episodes. Hope you all keep crushing it. Have a good day. Have a good weekend. Talk to y'all soon.
Bye.
I absolutely love having you as a listener of the Primal King podcast. If you don't want to miss out on the great content, then it's time to hit that subscribe button right now. Do not be left behind. And then share your thoughts and feedback with a written review of the show. I read every single one of these, and it helps me make sure I am serving you best. It also allows others to find this content, and it builds this community. Make it an awesome day, and we'll see you next time.